with the disciples and all of the other people. And he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." I believe that was the birth of the church. Amen. Okay? But I believe Pentecost was the empowering of the church, the ecclesia. See, in Greek, you know, the Greek word is ecclesia, and it was interpreted church. Ecclesia means the called out ones. See, we are the called out ones. We're not called in. We're called out. All right? So what happened at Pentecost? Well, you know, for 50 days, the disciples and the others had been sitting around, probably breaking bread together. I bet you they were praying. Yeah, and they were talking about Jesus and what he did and, you know, and what they hoped was to come. But then on Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came that Jesus promised and is a promised gift of the Father. We receive him the same way we receive Jesus, by faith. Okay? But he came on the apostles and the other. That's the empowering of the church. And the church still needs empowering. Amen. We have been very lackadaisical. We have become church attenders and not the ecclesia who is called to be the kingdom of God represented on earth. Out there. Not in here. Yeah. It's easy to be religious in here, right? But it's hard to show a relationship out there. Okay? Jesus is not meant to be kept in. The agape love of Jesus Christ is meant to flow. And this is nothing what I prepared for, right? So hang on. All right. So what happened at Pentecost? The Holy Spirit came, and he did three things, all right? First of all, he filled all the people with passion and excitement. I talked about that the last time. Do you wake up excited and full of passion every morning? Well, you should. You are royalty. You're the king's children. We're priests and priestesses. We're heirs in the kingdom. Our brother, Jesus Christ, is our king. All right. We should wake up every morning with passion, but that's what the Holy Spirit comes to bring. You know, good morning, Holy Spirit, fill me with passion. Make me excited about my new life. I have new life in Jesus Christ. I will never die. Okay? In Hebrews, it says that all men are appointed once to die. I've already died. I died with Christ when I was baptized, and I've been raised to life with him. I'll never die. I'm ageless. I'm immortal. So are you. Rejoice. Be glad in it. Okay, Holy Spirit. Now, he did three things, all right? To me, the passion and the excitement is the most important one, you know? And like I said last time, I don't wake up every day passionate and excited. Some days I wake up on the wrong side of the bed. But whose fault is that? Jesus didn't do it. The Holy Spirit didn't do it. You know, it's my job to get back focused on them. Right. And not my circumstances and not my situations. Amen. Not what's going on in this crazy world. This age is an evil age. Don't you all know that?
Yes.
Yeah. This age is an evil age because of what Adam and Eve did. This age is cursed. We're not. Jesus took our curse, right? And now we have all the blessings of Abraham and the promised gift of the Holy Spirit by faith. That gets me excited. So the passion and the excitement, that, you know, I could talk on that all day. You know, and if y'all don't have any place to go, just sit back and relax, you know, and I will. But he also gave us the ability. Look at what Peter did on Pentecost. He went out and started preaching. This unlearned fisherman went out and started preaching, and thousands, I believe it was 3,000, were added to the church. You know, was Peter studying the whole 50 days, you know, preparing for this? No, it was the Holy Spirit. Some of the best things I say, I don't know I'm saying them. It's him, all right, speaking through me. He gives us the ability to witness. We don't witness for Christ. He witnesses through us. Okay? It's not our responsibility. Our responsibility is to develop a relationship with the Holy Spirit so we can be in Christ. And I'm going to get to that in a minute. All right, the third thing that he did, all right, he gave us power.
Amen.
Okay? And we have not been walking in the power that his presence gives us. You know, when I pray for somebody, I now pray that they will receive whatever they need. And then I don't think about it anymore. I don't go on for hours and hours and hours. You know, God's not deaf, all right? He doesn't need a multitude of long prayers. You're healed in the name of Jesus. Now receive it and be healed. Yeah. Call me later. Yeah. Yeah, and tell me how it went. Okay, so he gives us passion. He gives us the ability to do the things that we are predestined and ordained to do. And then, you know, he fills us with the presence of God, the power of God. And I'm getting goosebumps as I talk about it. I love being in the presence of God. So let's see what Jesus said about this Holy Spirit when he was talking to his disciples and the others. And I'm going to go to the book of John. I love the book of John. And I'm going to start in John 14:15. You don't have to follow along because I'm going to be moving fast. But you can listen, hear the word of God. And I'm going to stop right now. Heavenly Father, I just ask you to fill me with your presence. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. And whatever comes out of my mouth, let it be you. And give these people, your people, these saints, the elect, the chosen, that are sitting in here, give them ears to hear. And let their hearts be filled with your presence. So let's hear what Jesus said in chapter 14, verse 15. He goes, if, I don't know about you guys, but when I used to read the Bible, I didn't like the ifs. Because it connotated something I was going to have to do. If you love me, agape love me, and keep my commands. All right? So, that's a big statement, and I think sometimes we fly over it. Are you in agape love with Jesus Christ, your Savior? Are you walking in obedience? Are you reading your word on a regular basis? 1 in 5 Christians only read their Bible once a week, all right? You got to be in this thing. This thing is living. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. It cuts to the marrow. Amen. You know, I've been reading it for over 25 years. Gene's been reading it for 30 years. You know, it's not that we're, you know, hard of learning. We're hard of hearing, all right? Because you can read this like a book and fall asleep in 5 minutes. Right. Or you can read this with the Holy Spirit and get inspired and get revelation and become excited and go, wow, I never saw that before.
That's right.
Yeah. All men are appointed to die once, all right? We've already died. It's the world. And they're dying spiritually, which is worse than a physical death. I would rather die physically with the Spirit than live physically without him. Because I've lived physically without him, and I've seen how miserable it is. I told Gene, I said, you know, it's not so much anymore about how good I think I am. It's how bad I remember I was. Okay? how bad I remember I was when Jesus came and got me. And he loved me anyway.
That's right.
Okay? That gets me excited. Okay, back to the word here. He goes, if you agape love me and obey my commands, I will pray to the Father and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. It's a free gift. He's the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Those people out there can't receive it. They're perishing, okay? Now, they can't receive it, all right, because they can't see him, you know, and they don't know him, but we know him. We better know him because he dwells in us. He came in at our salvation, and he baptized our spirit with Jesus Christ. And then Jesus, in all four Gospels, he baptizes us with the Holy Spirit and fire. All right? I'm afraid some of us got little bitty fires. Maybe a matchstick. All right? I want a roaring inferno. I'm tired of walking around with a matchstick or keeping my light under a bucket. All right. Let's see what else he says here. He, and this is verse 21, same chapter, he who has my commands and keeps them, ooh, it is he who agape loves me, and he who agape loves me will be agape loved by my Father, and I will agape love him and manifest myself to him by the Holy Spirit. See, it's the Holy Spirit that manifests Christ to us, all right? All right, let's go on to verse 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he'll teach you all things. How do you expect to read the Bible without the Holy Spirit and learn anything? Yeah. I memorized so many scriptures that I've forgotten, and now I've got so many scriptures in me that, you know, I don't have to read my Bible. I am my Bible. Yeah, doesn't mean I don't read it, but I can call it up. I can call up stuff, you know, and I can walk around my neighborhood for 45 minutes just, you know, in scripture, you know, and it's not because I am so, you know, smart, okay? Yeah, I'm not smart, but the one who is in me is. Yeah, and yeah, he told me when I started this walk with him, I said, I'm not good at memorizing things. He said, that's okay, I am. Yeah, he said, you get it in there, I'll bring it out, all right? And he has. You know, even, I mean, I've had people go, wow, how do you do that? I go, I don't have a clue. Yeah, but I know who it is doing it, and it's not me, okay? He'll teach you all things, and he'll bring to your remembrance the things that I said to you. I think that's pretty important, all right? Let's go over here, and still in John, okay, we're going to 16:7. It says, and that's Jesus speaking, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Okay? He did. If Jesus said, look, it's so important that I got to get out of here so I can send the Holy Spirit, I think this is somebody we should pay attention to. Then he goes on to say, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you the things to come, and he will glorify me. Yeah, I love my Father. I love Abba Father. I talk to him all the time. I love Jesus, my Lord and Savior, and my brother, and I talk to him all the time. But I tell you what, when I'm asking for things, I go through the chain of command. I don't go right to the general. You know, I don't go right to the king. I go right to the Holy Spirit because he is Jesus. He is the Trinity in us. And we have a right and a privilege to go right to him. I don't care what it is. You know, little things. You know, I've been having a knee problem, and I just, you know, I go to him and I say, I haven't done anything to do that. I make it go away. Yeah, and it goes away. Yeah. I mean, Jesus said in Mark 11, 23 and 24, if you believe that the things you ask for will be done, you'll receive them. I can't get any more plain than that. All right? He said, therefore, when you pray, you know, believe that you will receive what you ask for and you'll have them. Well, that's pretty simple, isn't it? All right, but you ask the Holy Spirit. When I'm sitting at work and a problem comes up, you know, I go to the Holy Spirit. When a family problem comes up, I go to the Holy Spirit. You know, because he's right there all the time. There's no place you can go that the Holy Spirit's not there. You know, when you start thinking that way, it'll scare the devil out of me. Right. There's no place you can go, no place dark enough, you know, where you can get away from the Holy Spirit because he's right there. If you've accepted Jesus Christ, he's in you and you can't get rid of him, okay? And you shouldn't want to, all right? Now, we're getting to this. This whole talk is on Romans 8, but I haven't got there yet, all right? In Romans 8:1, it says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Yeah. What the heck does that mean? What does it mean to be in Christ? Yeah. Well, before I answer that question, let me go to 2 Corinthians 5:21. For our Father made him, Jesus Christ our Savior, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of Abba the Father in him. Oop, there's that word again. In him. What's that mean? In him. I need to get in him. How about verse 17? Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone. Behold, everything is brand new. I kind of like that, brand new, especially at 73. Yeah. I like everything brand new, yeah. All right, we're getting close now. So have you noticed this in, this little word in pops up a lot? If you start paying attention in the New Testament, you will see the word in Christ a lot, okay? Here's another one. In 1 John 3:6, now we're getting to the crux of the matter. And you will know that Jesus was manifested to take away our sins. He didn't die to atone for our sins. He died to take them away. He died for remittance, not atonement. Atonement's Old Testament, something you got to do over and over again. You got to keep covering that sin. Now we don't have sin anymore because Jesus took them. He remitted them. Then it goes on to say, whoever abides in him, there's that, in him again, yeah, does not sin. That's pretty simple. Yeah. So if I can figure out how to be in Christ, I can be the righteousness of my Father. If I can figure out how to be in Christ, yeah, I can be a new creation in Christ. If I can figure out how to be in Christ, I can be a new creation. And I don't have any condemnation. If I figure out how to be in Christ, I don't have to worry about sin. See, we're not supposed to be sin conscious anymore. We're supposed to be righteousness conscious. All right? And to do that, you have to meditate on stuff. Now you can meditate on TV, meditate on a good novel. Yeah, you can do all the things that the world does to fill their mind up so they don't think about all the garbage that's going on. I don't know about you guys, but there's a lot of garbage going on out there right now. Yeah. Some people go, aren't you afraid? I go, no, I'm not afraid. Yeah. But what if the riots come, you know, to our neighborhood? Yeah. I go, well, yeah. I still remember one of the parishioners here saying, the worst thing that can happen to me is I'll die and go home to be with Jesus. Okay. Now, remember, we've already died, so death has no sting to us. Okay. Because of Adam and Eve, these shells will one day, you know, pass away, but we're just going to step into glory with Jesus Christ. I don't know about you guys, but that excites me. Yeah. You know, I have something to look forward to. I have hope. You think those people out there have hope? No. Their hope is in what the last thing that made them happy. Sex, drugs, alcohol, you name it. Football, anything to take their mind off of the pain and agony of knowing that they're going to die. And they are going to die. All men are appointed to die once. All right. But all men live forever, saved and unsaved. You know, this is the good news message, is that, I'm having breakfast with my son Brian tomorrow, and he's walked away from the Lord, And I'm going to ask him again, son, what do you think happens when you die? Yeah. And I know what he's going to say. He said, that's it. The lights turned out and it's over. I said, ooh. I said, close your eyes. Yeah. Are you still there? Yeah. You're still there. When I was a little kid, I used to lay in bed sometimes. You know, this is kind of weird, but yeah, you know, I would close. It was dark, and I would close my eyes, and I would think about death, and I go, I can't die. You know, because if I die, even when I can't see stuff, it's not here. Yeah. But see, that was the Holy Spirit talking to me about, our spirits and our souls go someplace, whether you're saved or whether you're unsaved. If you're saved, we get to go be with Christ. If you're unsaved, you get to go be separate from Christ. And that's hell, to be separate from God for eternity. Yeah. Oh, my gosh, this is not, I mean, what a choice. Well, I don't believe in all that. Well, if you're wrong and I'm right, then you got a long time to think about it. Yeah. But if you're right and I'm wrong, at least I lived a life full of joy. Yeah. With hope that something good was going to happen. Yeah. See, isn't that faith? Faith is the substance of what we hope for. You know, the evidence of what we don't, that used to confuse the heck out of me. It doesn't anymore. Yeah. Faith is a gift from our Father. It says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, which is a gift from your Father. All right? Not works, anything I did to get faith. Yeah. But you build your faith by getting in the Word of God. Yeah. I always tell people, you know, that are new to the Lord, they go, well, where should I start? Should I start in Genesis? I go, no. Don't start there. You know, you'll put the Bible down after about five pages and never look at it again. You want to start in John. Yeah, let's start in John. And when you finish John, go back and read it again. Yeah. And when you finish John the second time, go back and read it again. Yeah. And make sure you're underlining and writing and stuff. Write in the Bible? I go, yeah, this is about my eighth Bible. I've written on so many of them, you know, that they start falling apart. I just get a new one, start writing again. Yeah. New revelation. New revelation every day. I'm telling you, you read this book with the Holy Spirit, and he will, you know, he'll just amaze you with what it comes up with. I mean, lately, all the scriptures that say, brethren, I beseech you to live a life worthy of the calling that you've been called for. All right? So, what does it mean, in? You're going to be in something. This little word is big. All right, and the Greek word in means to be in the state of being like. So if I'm in Christ, I'm being like Christ. All right? So I go, okay. Now, the question I ask myself is, in my humanity, can I be like Christ? And my answer is no. All right? Because I, like I said, I'm 73. I was baptized when I was 7. I was born again and when I was 31. Yeah, and Jesus came and got me in 1995. All right, so I've been up the mountain, down the mountain, in the pit, on top. Yeah, I've been everywhere. All right, and it's what I tell my younger friends is, I want to help you not to have to experience all the garbage I did to get where I am now. All right, not that I've arrived, but I'm well on my way. Yeah, this is, you never arrive until you stand in front of Jesus. Okay. So you're always rising. This transformation life is one, it's like being on a rocket. You know, it just keeps going up and up and getting better and better and better. You know, and then when something bad happens, you know, yeah, a few years ago, I lost my best friend to cancer. And I was there holding his hand when he went home to be with the Lord. Yeah, and I cried. Known the man since I was 12. Yeah, he said our friendship was older than dirt. Yeah. Yeah. And I still miss him. Yeah. And then the next year I lost my other best friend to cancer. Yeah. And I'm like, geez. Then our nephew, you know, overdosed and he died. And so we're comforting Jean's sister. And she looked at me and she goes, how do people cope with this without Jesus? And I said, alcohol, sex, drugs, you know, food, you name it. Yeah. They run, you know, they try everything but the truth. All right? So this word in, you're going to be in something. You're either going to be in Christ, and it says, whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. Okay? So you're going to be either in Christ or in darkness. You're either going to be in the kingdom of God. You know, we sang that Lord's Prayer, right? Your kingdom come in and through me, and your will be done in and through me every day as it is in heaven. That should be our prayer. I want the kingdom to come in and through me. See, Jesus came to restore us back into the family of God so that we could be the righteousness of God in him, but he also came to restore his kingdom on earth in and through us. We are ambassadors. We're diplomats. You know, in this world, we're supposed to be lights and salt in this dark and tasteless world. That's what Jesus came to do. He didn't call us to come in here and sit down. Come in, all my people, and sit on Sunday, sit down for an hour, two, you know, and then go do what you want the rest of the week. See you next week. No. This is a lifestyle. But here's the secret. It's the lifestyle of the rich and famous. Yeah. It is. It's the lifestyle of the rich and famous and of the content. Yeah, I'm very content. People go, well, yeah, you got a great life. I have a great Savior who gives me a great life. I know a lot of people that have more money than I am and they're miserable. Yeah. And I know a lot of people have a lot less money than I have and they are full of the joy of the Lord. We just sold our condo at New Smyrna Beach. Thank you, Father. And, we went to the closing. And some of you might have seen it on Facebook. The lady who was notarizing our paperwork was a spirit-filled Christian. Hallelujah! I mean, every second she was going, praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! Yeah, God is good. And we're all speaking in tongues. We're in this. If somebody in the world would have come in there, they would have gone, these people are nuts. But I had a pastor one time that told me this. He said, you know, people say I'm goofy for Jesus. He said, but I'd rather be goofy for Jesus than a football game or, you know, a baseball game or, I want to be goofy for Jesus. Yeah. If people think I'm weird, I don't care. Yeah. I'm way past that. Yeah. I'm a father. I don't try to impress anybody anymore. But I'm a grandfather, and I can impress those little guys, at least until they get probably up into their 20s. All right. So you see the importance of being in Christ? All right. Now, here's a lead-in to what we're going to talk about in Romans for the next 3 hours. Romans. Romans 8 is tattooed in my brain. Yeah. Romans 8. Yeah. It's called the Life with the Spirit. Yeah. That's what Romans 8 is called in NIV. New King James, the title is Sinless Life. Okay. And one of the things I have discovered is that we can walk in a sinful life if we will walk with the Holy Spirit. And walk means to live, okay? So if you will live with the Spirit, 24/7, sin will be the farthest thing from your mind. Because if you're in Christ, you cannot be in darkness. It's impossible, okay? It's just not possible. So what the Holy Spirit has charged me with, he has charged me with going to you all, his people, and getting you excited about this Holy Spirit. But then here's the neat thing. The more I go to talk to people about getting them excited, the more excited I get. So I'm getting goofier and goofier, but I don't care. Yeah, because it's my Lord and Savior. He's my King, but he's my brother. I'm in the family. Yeah. Jesus is our brother. Yeah. So before we can get into Romans 8, we have to back up a few verses into Romans 7 because there's a verse in there that a lot of people use to justify being sinful. So, Paul starts talking. And he says, I do the things I don't want to do and I don't do the things I want to do. And, what a wretched man I am. Yeah. And everybody stops there and says, well, Paul says he's a wretched man. I can be a wretched man too. You got to keep reading, okay? So here goes. Holy Spirit, you speak. All right? Yeah. This is what Paul says to his father. He says, Father, I give you all my thanks because through your grace and your agape love, you made a way out of my life of sin and death through Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior.
Amen.
Okay? And he goes, but Father, I know that if I don't focus on Jesus, if I don't put Jesus first, that my sinful flesh will rise up and realign with that law of sin and death. I know that. I know Bruce Woodard. If I take my eyes off of Jesus, my sinful flesh will rise up. Okay? I have to crucify it daily. So then he goes on to say, but Father, God, thank you so much that you have given me your Holy Spirit to be my strength and to transform me daily by the renewing of my mind with the Word of God so that my mind stays fixed on and steadfast on the wonderful, glorious, and righteous principles found in the Word of God. All right? So that's it. That's the end of the story. Therefore, there's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Therefore, there's now no condemnation from the defeated one, Okay, for us saints who have made Jesus Christ Lord and Master of our lives, we are the elect, the chosen, and we are joined in life union with Jesus Christ by living daily, 24/7, with the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus would not tell us something that we can't do. Matthew 5:48, he says, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. He didn't say, try to be perfect. Maybe you could be perfect one or two days a week. He said, be perfect. He wouldn't tell us to do something we can't do. So the law of the Spirit of life that flows, you know, from the anointing of Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit has liberated us. I like that word, liberated us. Liberated us, you know, from the power of sin and death. Okay? That's an amen right there. Okay? Because what that law could not do because of our sinful state, our Father did by sending his own Son to be the perfect sacrifice for us. Okay? So that all of the law might be perfected in us who walk not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Because if you walk in the flesh, you're going to live with the things of the flesh. Okay? But if you walk with the Spirit, you're going to walk in the things of the Spirit, the things of God, found in Philippians 4:8, the things that are lovely and true and, you know, righteous, and the things that are lovely and pure and of good report, the things that, you know, that have virtue, the things that are praiseworthy, the things found in the Word of God. That's what we meditate on. All right? We meditate on those things. So, what are you meditating on? What are you thinking about? Yeah. You spend a lot of time watching TV? That'll keep your mind dead. Yeah. It's not very fulfilling, but it will keep your mind, you know, sharp. So, we are debtors. Okay? But not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, the word says, you will die. Not physically. You'll die spiritually. And I'll tell you right now, that's a far worse death than a physical one. I would rather die physically in the Spirit than live physically without it. Okay? One of my favorite sayings. Because I've lived without the Spirit. Oh, and there's been some pleasures out there. The enemy's good at giving us pleasure. He'll give us a lot of things. Keep our mind off of him, off of the cross. He's great at distracting. Yeah. You know, people ask me, they go, well, how do I avoid walking in the flesh? The word goes on to say that if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, the deeds of the flesh, the things of this world, you will live. All right? And Jesus says in John 10:10, you know, that we'll not only live, but we'll live more abundantly. I go, well, that's good. I like that. I like living more abundantly. So I stopped and I thought, and I go, I want to share in the joy of my Lord. You know, because we are children. See, the Holy Spirit, he testifies with our spirit 24/7 that we are the children of God. But you got to be listening to him. And by listening, you get in your word, and you get the word in you. And you listen to him, and he testifies that we are children. And if children, then we're heirs in the kingdom and co-heirs with our King and our brother, Jesus Christ. But we also have to participate in his suffering. We have to suffer. You know, we got to suffer for the, you know, for the sick, the dying, you know, the saved, the unsaved, the lost, you know. We have to join in those sufferings, but if we do, then we'll be glorified with them. Yeah. Look, I don't consider this current age, you know, my circumstances, my situations, my feelings, my emotions, my health, my wealth, I don't consider any of that worthy to be compared to the glory of the restoration kingdom gospel of Jesus Christ. Nothing compares to it. Yeah. And it's being revealed. It will be revealed in you if you will get with the Spirit, fellowship with Him, commune with Him, talk to Him like I'm talking to you. He's a person. He's the most powerful person on earth. Yeah, and He dwells in me. When Satan comes and tries to tempt me, I go, have you seen my brother lately? Yeah, talk to him. Yeah, the Holy Spirit said, I'm going to give you a powerful word, Bruce. Whenever Satan comes with that temptation, I go, okay, what is it? No. I go, no? He goes, yeah. And when he comes and he says, hey, isn't that a good-looking woman? No. That's a good-looking woman. Yeah. When he puts something on my mind that I know is not right, you know, that's all he can do. He's like throwing mud up against a wall and hopes something sticks. You know, I keep hosing it down with the Holy Spirit. Yeah. No, I'm not going to think that. Somebody cuts me off in traffic, you know, and I go, God bless you. Because when I was getting ready to do this, he went, no. Yeah. Somebody sent me a blasting email the other day, you know, and I looked at it, and I just started not to start answering it. Yeah, I can type really fast too. You know, I was just, oh, they're gonna love this. Yeah, and I got done. I said, "What do you think, Holy Spirit?" He goes, "No." He goes, "Delete it." I go, "But it feels good." He said, "Sometimes if it feels good, it's not." So I deleted it, and I said, "God bless you, and you're always welcome." And, yeah. Hey, this isn't easy. Jesus didn't say, hey, follow me, everything will be easy peasy. No, he didn't say that. He said, in this life, you're going to have trials and tribulation. But that's okay. You know, I've overcome the world. You know, take my joy, so your joy will be complete. You know, I give you peace, not the peace of the world. I give you my peace. You know, think about that. Joy and peace. Those are the first two attributes of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is agape love. And that's what Romans 8 is all about. Holy Spirit, you've taken me down a trail that I didn't think I was going to go, but that's all right. Yeah, you're the one. Yeah. Yeah. This is a wonderful, dynamic, exciting, yeah. You passionate, you will get passion. You know, if you don't have passion, get with the Holy Spirit. He'll give it to you. You know, he'll give you all the passion you can handle. You know, I think Bob Hazen spoke on the end of Romans 8, where it says, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor dark angels, you know, dark principalities, dark powers, you know, no thing present, no thing to come, you know, no height, no depth, no width, not any created thing can ever separate me from the agape love of my Father, all right, which is in Christ Jesus, being manifested by the presence of the Holy Spirit of the living God, who dwells in me, and greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. So He makes me great. He inspires me. He's my good morning and He's my good night. He's the one I go to when I wake up in the middle of the night. He's the one I wake up when I can't sleep. He's the one I go to when I have a problem. He's the one I go to when I'm joyful. He's the one I go to when I have a good meal. You know, I'm always walking with Him. And I'm blessed because my wife walks with Him. You know. And so walking together, two are stronger than one, right? And three are even stronger. And we have a strong family who believes in the Holy Spirit, you know, and the power of the Holy Spirit. I want people to get excited about this Holy Spirit. I challenge you, you know, to get into Romans 8 with the Holy Spirit. He will change it You know, and it will just, you know, it will blow you away. You know, so people go, I go, so if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, the things of the flesh, the things of the world, you'll have life. And those who are led by the Spirit, these are the children of God. And we know that as children, we've not been given a spirit of bondage again to fear, but we've been given a spirit found in 2 Timothy 1:7. Our Father's given us a spirit of dynamic power, of agape love, and a sound, steadfast mind. All right? And it's by that Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that we can cry out, Abba, Father. I didn't like that term, Abba, Father. I say it all the time now, Abba, Father. I love you, Abba, Father. You know, he's my Abba, Father. He's not God. See, when we say God, people have no connotation of what we're talking about. Yeah, got a lot of gods out there. Go across the street. You can spend all day over there, you know, looking at all their gods. All right? But when we personalize it and make it intimate, because God is an intimate God. It's intimacy from Genesis to Revelation. He's an intimate God. He created us. Yeah. If you want to be intimate, then you start making it intimate. When I read my Bible, there were places in there where it said God. I had to say Abba Father or my Father. You know, because I want to personalize it. Sometimes it says God and it's Jesus. You know, but see, it's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So it's, you know, it's Father God, it's Lord Savior, and it's my Comforter. See, I like my Comforter because we all need comfort, you know, sometime or another. You know, when I was comforting my sister-in-law when her son died, you know, at a very young age. You know, it's hard. Life is hard. But we're in an evil age, but there's another age to come. All right? Yeah, that's what we look forward to, right? That's what our hope is in. Our hope is not in what we see. I mean, my gosh, who hopes for what they already see? I hope I get a Corvette. Well, there's one sitting right out there. Oh, it's mine. You know, I mean, yeah, I'm not hoping for a Corvette. I got one. Who still hopes for what they already have? No, we hope in what we don't see. But here's a neat thing. What we don't see is more powerful than the seen, because what we don't see, he created it all. You know, what we don't see is eternal. You have eternal life with Jesus. It's only going to get better. I don't care what you're going through. You know, we can't let our situations, circumstances, and what's going on, you know, dictate our identity. Does that make sense? Our identity is in Christ. Our identity is in the family of God. Our identity is kings and queens in the kingdom of God. And we should walk around with our chest stuck out going, I'm royalty. Yeah. I'm here and I'm a diplomat. I'm the ambassador of the kingdom of God. Yeah. Anybody ever heard of Miles Monroe? Yeah. He said he was checking into a hotel. And they put him on the 15th floor or something. He says, no, I have to be on the 7th floor. And the guy looked at him. He goes, I'm a diplomat. And the guy goes, you're a diplomat? Yep, I'm a diplomat, and I have to be on the 7th floor. So the guy goes, well, who do you represent? He goes, the kingdom of God. So the guy put him on the, he goes, well, what's so special about the 7th floor? He goes, well, fire engine ladders will only go up to the 7th floor. And he says, as a diplomat, I don't want to be where they can't get me. I told you this before. I have a picture in my house of Jesus laughing, okay? And I just love that picture. And my favorite story is when my sister came to visit me, and she walked in, and she goes, why do you have a picture of Bob Marley in your kitchen? And I go, it's Jesus, all right? Because people aren't used to seeing Jesus laughing, you know? Yeah. I said, yeah, his music's better than Bob's. But, yeah, I like Bob Marley. But, yeah, it's Jesus. Yeah, and that's what it's all about. This is Pentecost Sunday. The Holy Spirit is here. He's in each of you. Walk with him, live with him, get him, think about him, talk to him, make him a part of your life, and I guarantee he will change it. All right? He will change it. But we have a responsibility. We have a responsibility to read that word with him and let him give us revelation knowledge so that he can pull it out whenever he wants to. What it says in Isaiah 11:2, I think it is. Is it Isaiah 11:2? It tells who the Holy Spirit is. He's the spirit of power. He's the spirit of counsel. He's the spirit of wisdom. He's the spirit of understanding. He's the spirit of knowledge. He's the whole enchilada. So feast on him. Feast with him. Yeah. And I guarantee you, your life will never be the same. And once again, I challenge you. Get into Romans 8. It's only 39 verses. And make it yourself. And verse 37 says, yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ who loves us. We're more than conquerors. I don't care what's going on out there. I don't care what's going on in the world. I'm not of this world. I'm in this world, but I'm not of it, okay? I'm just here, passing through. But you know where we're going to end back up again? Right back here in the new heaven, new earth. I can't wait to see that. I love Key West and I love the ocean. Some people love the mountains. Wait till you see those. Wait till you walk on the new beach or the new mountains or see the new rivers. Everything brand new. Isn't that great to have that kind of hope?
Amen.
Right? So our hope is based on our faith. But of the three, faith, hope, and love, which one's the greatest? Love, agape love. I belong to a group that meets every Wednesday morning, and this one young man there, he goes, well, he said, I learned one thing from Bruce Woodard. And I said, what was that? And he goes, agape love. He said, I'll always say agape love when I'm talking about Father's love. Because it is different than our human love. I love talking about Jesus. I love talking about the Holy Spirit. I love our new praise and worship team. Where's the, we're missing one.
She got a new job.
Oh, she's working. Y'all sent her to work, huh? Well, tell her we missed it. All right. So I think I'm done, but what I would like to do, I thought I was going to go for at least an hour and a half. The Spirit always amazes me. Always amazes me. I think what I would like to do, if there's elders or anybody in here who is filled with the Spirit, come up front when you get after I pray. And anybody who wants to receive the Holy Spirit who hasn't received it, come up. And as Jesus said, all you have to do is ask, seek, knock. All right, continuously. This is not a one-time thing. Salvation was a one-time thing. We were saved. Boom. Okay, good. All right. Walking with the Spirit, asking for him and seeking him and knocking for him is a continuous thing. See, when you ask for something, you want it, right? When you seek something, you desire it. And when you knock, you need something. All right? So, want the Spirit, desire him and need him. Because it says in Luke, it says, how much more will your Father in heaven not give you the Holy Spirit if you would just ask for him? See, people don't ask. Some people are afraid of speaking in tongues. All right? Don't worry about that. That's between you and the Holy Spirit. I realize, after coming to this church that I've been speaking in tongues unknowingly for a long time. All right? But some people, I've had this one lovely lady, and she goes, I just can't speak in tongues. And I said, it'll come when you and the Spirit get it together. But see, the Spirit helps us in all of our weaknesses. That's why we need him. He's our strength. He's our power source. I tell people, God is the car, Jesus is the key, but the gas is the Holy Spirit. Now, you need all three to run it. If you get in a car with the key and no gas, you're not going anywhere. You can get in a car with the gas and no key, you're still not going anywhere. And if you don't have a car, you're lost. All right, so you got to have all three of them. The Spirit is just, I just can't say enough about him and how he's changed my life. Yeah. So nothing can ever separate you from the agape love of Jesus Christ. Okay. One thing I noticed about Billy Graham, and I saw him two or three times when I lived in Hawaii when I was a kid before it was a state, at least three times, is he always had the same message.
That's right.
Yeah. God loves you. Yeah. My message is your Father loves you. Your Father in heaven loves you. He loved you so much that he sent his Son to make a way for you to come back to him. That's a pretty powerful love. Yeah, he loved you so much that after he sent his Son, he gave you his Spirit to help you walk with him and be a member of the family. That's a pretty powerful love. You know, make it intimate. You know, make this relationship intimate. I love Jean's brother, her older brother. He's older than me. That's why I like him. When I first talked, when I first started talking to him about the Lord, I mentioned our intimate God, and he goes, "God's not intimate." And it was like a fire got ignited in me, and it was like the Holy Spirit. I mean, I'm not that fast on the phone, but it was like, bloof, yeah, all this stuff came out. I think I might still have it in there. I mean, the Bible screams intimacy from Genesis all the way through to Revelation. And everything you read is intimate. Yeah. But we do have a responsibility. There's a lot of ifs and therefores in the Word of God that you need to know. And the primary one is, you know, if you agape love me and you obey me, yeah, then you're my disciple and you will know the truth, Spirit of truth, Holy Spirit, and he will liberate you. And you'll walk in that freedom, yeah. And you'll have a glow about you, yeah. And people think you have a tan, yeah. So I'm going to pray, and then if the elders and anybody else who has the Spirit and wants to impart it on anybody wants to come up, we'll pray for you. It's not a long prayer, yeah. We'll pray for you to receive the Holy Spirit. If you haven't been walking with the Spirit for a while, come up and we'll lay hands on you and ask, you know, tell the Spirit to come back in there and get you. Yeah. So, all right. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this time. I pray your blessing on your people. I know that they're special to you, Father, that they're the object of your affection. They're the apples of your eye, Father. Yeah. They are chosen to be the bride of Christ. And I pray your blessing on them. I pray that you will fill each person here with your Spirit to overflowing. For we know that our hope in the restoration kingdom gospel of Jesus Christ does not disappoint us at all, ever. Because, Father, your agape love is being continuously poured into our spirits, our souls, our very being by the Holy Spirit that you've given us. So therefore, Father, we know that you are a God of hope. Thank you. That you have filled us with your Holy Spirit and given us the joy and the peace and the patience and the kindness and the goodness. You've built our faith up and given us a gentleness of our spirit. And you've given us a sound, steadfast mind. As long as we trust in you, Father, you know, then our hope in the restoration gospel of Jesus Christ will overflow by the Holy Spirit that you have so graciously given us. Thank you, Father. Now, let us all go forth and be lights and salt in this dark and tasteless world. Be the kingdom of God in what you do and what you say. In the precious name of Jesus. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. All right. Amen. Amen. Shoot. Yeah.